Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
So this case has been suggested to me multiple times, and I keep saying I'm going to do it because you're going to recognize a lot of the places we're going to talk about.
I've toyed with doing this case a number of times, but I will tell you that it has been a really long time since I read it, so I don't remember any of the details, and I frankly don't remember if I came to any theories on my own.
Okay, good. So let's just dive in. Today okay. We're going to talk about Michael McLean. Mike was born in February of 1990 in Stamford, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. He lived with his parents, Paula and Edward. It sounds like he was a jokester. He played sports. There's nothing, I want to say it's like uneventful. You know, there doesn't seem to be any trauma, there doesn't seem to be any problem, it's just a traditional childhood.
Right, and I feel like usually we get those details and it's either like, oh, it lines up with something they did in their adult life, or that's exactly why they didn't do something in their adult life.
Exactly. So after high school, Mike moved to Manchester, New Hampshire. He went to Hesser College, he got a bachelor's in criminal justice. And after that, he got a job at Easter Seals, which is a nonprofit that works with disabled kids.
And this is why this case resonated with me, is it speaks to us in the sense that it touches each of our lives. Like,
yep.
I'm from Connecticut. We worked in Manchester together.
Yep. All of the things. All right. So April 20th, 2019. Mike meets two friends at Tropical Lounge on 14 Hollis Street in Nashua. It sounds like the whole evening went pretty uneventfully. There's not a whole lot about what happens inside the bar or any of that. It's just right after, it looks like around 1:30, They're going to leave, and there is an altercation in the parking lot between two women. Now, Michael kind of knew one of the women, so he attempted to de-escalate the situation. Basically, like, break it all up, go home, whatever. That didn't work, and police arrive around 1:45 a.m. Now, to clarify, because this is my favorite time of day, we are now in the early morning hours of April 21st.
Okay, so what you're saying is, like, in the bar, there's not, like, some big attraction. There's, like, some big game that everyone's there for. It's just a regular night hanging out. There's nothing,
yes,
like, an altercation between him or another guy in the bar. It's
nope.
When he steps out of the bar.
And he's not even involved in the altercation. It's two women.
Right. He's just trying to help.
Right.
I see. Gotcha.
So police come, break it all up. The crowd disperses. And Mike gets separated from his friends. Now, I'll say here, I guess, his friends say they searched the area and called his phone for about 45 minutes before they headed back to Manchester. Because they're in Nashua, which is probably like a 20-minute drive.
And after being out, you know, 45 minutes in the middle of the night and you can't find your friend, but you're not, like, over-the-top worried. You're like, okay, I guess we're going home now.
Right, and I also think it's a little bit different because they're men.
I mean, I'm sure. Like, you're not thinking that, you know, some, I don't know. You're not thinking of it in the same way.
Right.
It's true.
Okay. So police arrived right around 1:45 a.m. So I want to just kind of clarify, we don't have a great timeline, but we have a condensed timeline. Shortly before 2 a.m., it looks like it's between 1:55 and 2, Michael calls his boss. Now, they're really close. She would occasionally pick him up after going out to the bar.
Okay.
But she didn't answer. But he left the voicemail. And it says, "They're after me, more than one." He also...
So, is this voicemail left after the time that his friends couldn't find him?
No, it sounds like... So, the police came at 1:45 and broke everything up.
Yeah.
This is... I have to assume that his friends started maybe 10 minutes later looking for him, right? Because you let the crowd disperse, police are asking questions, by the time everything's broken up.
A little bit of what the F just happened moments right. between you and the people around you.
Right. So, but at 2 a.m., he's already calling his boss and saying, "They're after me, more than one." Now, he also texts his neighbor three separate texts. The first one, and I'm going to spell them out too. There's this crazy game that we play on game night. And it's called Incoherent, right? Have you ever played it?
I've never even heard of this.
It's a card game, right? And it has, like, crazy words on it. And if you say them over and over again, they end up sounding like a real word. So that's what I feel like these texts are, though. So the first one says, "Help, LOL, hour." And that's H-E-L-P, L-O-L, O-U-R. The next one says, "What stood aloof?" That's WHATSTOODALOOF. The third one says, "Eldridge bro." ELDRIDGE BRO. And I'm spelling them because if you want to write them down and try to like make sense of them, listeners, you're welcome to do that. Police think he was using like text to speak or speak to text because he was moving quickly.
Okay.
Now, April 22nd, the next day, he doesn't show up to work. He also didn't call his sister on her birthday. So his sister or his family, I'm not sure which person, files a missing person report. We're in 2019. We get two good technologies. Okay. The first one is cell phones. They ping his cell phone, and it last pinged half a mile from the nightclub near the 24-hour McDonald's restaurant on East Hollis Street. And that was just around 2 a.m. on April 21st.
Yeah, so 15 minutes, and how far away was it?
Less than a mile.
Yeah, it makes sense. He could have gotten there on foot. Easy.
Yes. Now, police also get a witness here. An acquaintance says they saw Michael walking toward McDonald's, and he made no attempt to, aside from saying like, "Hey, how are ya?" to say that he was in distress, anyone was after him. He just appeared to be waiting for a ride.
Can you remind me again how he got to the club?
So I don't know how they got there, but he had parked his car at a friend's house in Nashua on Orange Street. But that was about a mile from the bar, so I don't know if they, like, Ubered or walked or what.
Okay, so it's plausible to think that at least he could have thought, like, all these people are waiting around and talking about this fight and stuff. I'm out of here. I'm walking back to my car.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay, just I'm trying to get kind of like a rough layout in my mind.
So police pull video, right? Mike is at McDonald's at 2 a.m. by himself, totally calm. They also get him entering and exiting a parking garage at Riverfront Landing at 3:30 a.m.
Wow, we've got a lot of documentation about where he was. for a good long while after he left.
After those videos and cell phone pings, his car, his phone, his bank account, and his social media have never had another piece of activity.
Okay. Hang on. I'm getting out my pen and paper now.
Okay.
My pencil and paper. I despise pen, just so we're clear. Okay, so starting with, can you read those texts again?
Yep. Do you want the timeline or just text messages?
Well, start with the text that he, or the voicemail he left.
The voicemail is just...
And what time it was.
Okay, so the voicemail is just before 2 a.m. And it says, they're after me, more than one.
And no one alluded to the fact that he had been really drunk or given anything.
Nope.
Okay. Then we have his texts, correct?
Yes.
And when did they occur?
I don't know, but my guess would be right around the 2 o'clock hour.
Okay. Go through those again, please.
Okay. The first one says help, LOL, hour.
H-O-U-R or O-U-R?
O-U-R.
Okay.
The next one says what, stood aloof.
Okay.
And the third one says Eldridge Bro. Now, Eldridge Street is the next street over from that McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at 2 a.m., there's video of him at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And at 3:30 a.m., there's video of him entering and exiting a parking garage at Riverfront Landing.
And how far is Riverfront Landing from his car?
Okay. All right. So I'll share this to our social medias, guys. So let me kind of walk through what I put on the text, Amy. That way you could see the map.
Okay.
Okay. So the first, I guess, place we'll talk about is, do you see the Rage Cage? Actually, I'm sorry. 14 West Hollis Street is lit up. You see that? That's the bar. Okay?
Yes.
Eldridge Street is the Eldridge, which is what people think he was trying to say. You seen the McDonald's?
Yes.
And then the Orange Street at the top is where he parked his car. And then Riverfront Landing is where there's video footage of him at 3:30 a.m. And just for perspective, the bar to Riverfront Landing that you walk past McDonald's, it's about a mile and a half.
Okay.
So if you walked straight past McDonald's and kept going and ended up at the bar and ended up at that Riverfront Landing, it's 1.5 miles.
Hmm.
It's about to get weirder. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't recall any of this from when I looked into it, so I'm glad to hear it almost as if I have no prior knowledge.
Okay, so the night of his disappearance, an incident occurred on the Hudson side of the Merrimack River. So you see that Riverfront Landing?
Sure.
The Merrimack River is that body of water right above it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what they say. A witness reportedly heard cries for help, but law enforcement searched up and down the banks, dive teams hit the water. They brought in a Massachusetts dive team. They brought in two boats, and they searched the river from Lowell North, and it came up empty.
Hmm.
I'm going to read you this direct quote. While investigators have remained tight-lipped, they have said that it remains open and all leads are being followed up on. As of April 2020, they have not received any recent tips, and they have not been able to determine if anything criminal or nature occurred. That was in 2020. Then, in 2021, we get this. The case is still a missing persons case in an open investigation. Lieutenant Patrick Hannon of the Nashville Police Department says they have ruled out some scenarios. Investigators do not suspect foul play or suspicious in nature. Given the entirety of our investigation, Hannon said, we're comfortable with that. We're confident with the investigation we've done. It is not criminal. They also go on to say, They do not suspect Mike took his own life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his dad has said there's zero chance he would have left his life as he was super close to his mom, but there's really no other alternatives.
This is so frustrating because this is not the first case that we've covered. I mean, I'm going to take a wild guess. We're like up to four or five where we have someone that's leaving the bar and ends up down by the water.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
And it's not even like they're like, I want to take a nice stroll and tell their friends they're going. It's like they had suspicious behaviors or texts or something that happened before. And then when they leave, we don't know whether to decide that those two things go together or they're completely at random.
Yeah. Agreed.
And then if we accept that these things happen at random, then we have to accept that weird stuff happened and aligned in the most horrible way for these two things to seem so crazy that they happened.
Right. Because if that's what happened, what would have to mean is he sends these weird texts, he sends these weird voicemails, and then he falls in the river and completely vanishes to the point that dive teams can't find him.
Right. Or the other reality is that there just happened to be this terrible fight that he walks away from and he starts on his way home. And then we don't know. Then there's these weird texts and voicemails. Then he goes towards the river and encounters some other thing.
I guess.
Falls in or he meets other terrible people.
Here's the thing, though. Police have said there's not foul play, which I'd love to know how they got that.
I always like to know how they got that. I'm like, fine, fair, okay? You did an investigation. Is it we ruled that there's camera footage of him here and no one else is?
Like, yeah, what? That is true. He was seen alone on all the footage. But that doesn't mean, like, he still vanished.
Right.
I actually texted a friend before we started recording, and I was like, we are like 170 episodes in on just our normal feed. We've done some Unsolved on Patreon, too, and I still can't wrap my head around people just vanishing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
So the Reddit, which I'm not going to give a whole lot of like weight to, does make a big to-do about the timeline because they're like, everything happened between 1:45 and 3:30, which I actually disagree. If he was seen on camera alone at 3:30, I think it happens after that.
I agree.
People are like, oh, maybe he got lost. Okay. And then?
Exactly. I mean, and it doesn't sound like he's so inebriated. I mean, he got that far.
Right. And here's the thing. He got that far. If he's so in distress, when he sees a acquaintance walking toward McDonald's, why not get help?
I agree with you. I have to wonder if this is another one of these cases where we theorize that, like, it's late at night, people are leaving the bars. Did he get hit by accident? I know. She rolls her eyes at me.
Well, it's not only that. It's like, okay, so he got hit by accident, and then what? They pack him up and put them in his trunk? Or their trunk, rather?
I know. I don't love it. It's not the best thing I've ever come up with.
I mean, I think it's more likely he fell in the river than that.
But in order to fall in the river, why would you go from the garage all the way to the river? And how inebriated would you have to be, and people didn't notice, that you fell in?
And we're talking April, so it's not warm, but it's not cold. I don't know. I mean, very obviously law enforcement is basically saying, we think he fell in the river, right? We don't think he died by suicide. We don't think it's foul play. Unless they think he left his life.
I don't think he left his life.
Why not?
I'm not going to lie. There's no evidence to support any of that. I'm just thinking to myself, like, he was at the bar. Intentions to go home. Like, if that fight didn't happen, he would have been with his group. And then you're going to go walk and leave your life? Like, you're the Von Trapp family leaving to go to Switzerland?
Well, here's my other question for you. Why would you not answer your friend's calls while you're texting and calling other people?
You know, we haven't said it. But, like, could he have had some psychiatric break? It would be the most inopportune, odd time for that to happen.
I mean, could it also be that... Could the friends have, like... I don't even know. Like, I just think it's weird. They looked for him for 45 minutes. They couldn't find him. But in the meantime, he was calling and texting other people.
Do we know if this is a 24-hour McDonald's?
Yes, it is.
Why didn't he stay in there until he felt safe to leave if he was in danger?
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Psychiatric break and you think people are after you? Stay at the McDonald's.
Right. I agree. So exactly that. Like, you're at the McDonald's and you are perfectly safe, warm, have a phone.
No psychiatric break. Why are you walking not towards your car and towards a random area?
Amy, that's a great question. Why did he walk toward the river? Why did he walk into a parking garage?
Why was he so great to go and try and stand up for a friend or break up a fight? And then why would he have kind of left and left everyone at that point?
I agree with you.
Or not at least said to everyone if he was frustrated that people were spending all their time waiting around, like, hey guys, I really need to get to my car, or I really want to, let's go. The only thing I guess I'd wonder is, could someone have slipped something in something he was drinking?
But no one reported him acting erratically in any way. So I guess it's possible, but unlikely?
That, to me, would be more plausible. Like, if you had been inebriated or out of your mind somehow, falling or jumping into a river. And it's plausible to me that even though they searched really well, he still wasn't found.
It is possible. But it's April.
But for a man that is not really heavily intoxicated to take a stroll down to the river and fall in when he's pretty coherent doesn't line up for me.
Not at all.
But what would be the point of drugging him?
I don't know. And no one reported he was drunk.
Especially if you know he's with a group of people.
If you're going to drug him, right, like, we're going to drug him and then what, let him leave by himself? Like, I don't understand.
Everything that you and I are proposing to one another, we're both knocking out.
I know, it's a tough one. None of it makes sense.
Yes, like the texts and stuff. And I'll tell you, I wrote them down and they don't make any sense to me, as anyone else who did that would have come to that conclusion as well. If this was a talk-to-text thing, I think it would have sounded like, help, lol, hour, what stood aloof, Eldridge bro. I have no idea. Help, lol, hour.
What about Lowell, Massachusetts, instead of LOL?
I mean, Lowell, Mass?
Yeah, it's not that far.
Is Lowell an hour away? No, Lowell was closer.
Maybe, like, I'm going Lowell's to Lowell?
Help, lol.
Right, we could play this game all day of what it sounds like. I have to call Jen. She's good at these.
Is she? I don't know. Maybe he's basically trying to reiterate, like, hey, like, what happened? I'm over at basically Eldridge, bro.
Okay. But for what? That person didn't respond.
Well, then it would sound less like he was in distress. That he was just saying, hey, like, we got separated. I'm at Eldridge. Kind of like, meet me there along the way. So that would take some of the distress out of it. However, we're still left with a voicemail.
Right. What about they're after me?
I mean, he could be saying they're after me more than one, in a sense that, like, they're following behind me, like my friends, but I'm alone. Maybe he's trying to reiterate that he's walking alone, they're behind me, and there's several of them. But he's alone.
I guess. None of that is, like, makes any...
So, it's far-fetched, but pretend that he's basically looking for a ride and saying to people, like, this is where I am, I just want you to know, okay? But he still doesn't call anyone and relies on texts. He stops at a McDonald's, and he doesn't wait there for anyone and tell them where he is. He continues to walk, but he doesn't end up at his car. So even if we made sense of those texts in that voicemail, it still doesn't explain why he ended up where he did and why he disappeared there.
I agree.
I am thinking I am back to square one.
And that's how I feel with this whole case. If you had to pick right now, what would you think this happened?
I think he probably a little bit in foul play. But mostly he likely fell somehow.
Huh. Okay.
Not really. I know. I don't know, Melissa.
I think I have to land there too.
Because...
I don't know.
All right. I guess, Melissa, we really can't come to any conclusion as to what happened. Not even a good, decent theory. So I'm going to open it up. What do you guys think? Put together all this information and make one theory for me that makes sense, please. I'm about done talking about this. This is hurting my head. So let us know your thoughts and your theories, and we will see you next week with an all-new case. All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.